Thank you, AJ, for giving me the opportunity to share my testimony. I really appreciate that. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Luke Beasley. I am a senior in high school this year. I've been growing up with three rotten siblings, two older brothers, one younger sister. I've had two very loving parents who have been raising me in the church all my life. Some might say that because you've been raised in a Christian home or because you've been going to church all your life, you may not have a testimony. Simply, that's not true. You know, we like to hear these dramatic conversion stories of God bringing people out of some deep sin. And praise God for that, right? You know, ask AJ or Mr. Kerner, or, you know, even David Cribbs, you know, he has a testimony too. right? And thank God for that, right? Thank God for rescuing them out of that depravity. And the truth is, you do. God has done the same work in their lives that he has done in our life. This is because up until some point in my life and all of your guys' lives, we were spiritually dead. Ephesians talks about we were dead in our trespasses and our sins and following the prince of this earth, Satan. You know, when I was younger, even before I was saved, you know, I didn't really remember a whole lot about my childhood, but I was maybe disrespectful to my parents. I didn't want to be nice to my sister. Maybe I didn't want to follow advice. You know, all these little things. But even that, God still rescued me out of those sins. And like I said, you know, we like to hear those dramatic conversion stories. But truth is, our life has been dramatically transformed. He has done a work in our life that is just radical. So even though I was raised in a Christian home, there was still a point in time that I had to surrender my life to Christ. And as a result of that, God has given me such a joy and a passion for sharing the gospel. And this isn't going to be long, but that's mostly my testimony. But I'll close with a quick story. I heard this recently, and there was a pastor that was preaching on how none of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised our next breath, right? And this pastor was preaching on this, and he saw a couple sitting in the back of his church, and he had never seen this couple before. And it seemed during the sermon that, you know, they were passing something back and forth, so he was going to make it a point to go talk to this couple afterwards. And so when the sermon was over, he made his way to the back of the church, and by the time he did, this couple was gone. So he walked outside, and it turns out as this couple was driving away, their car was hit by a train, and it hit them so hard that somehow it lit the car on fire, and this couple was burnt alive. And so remember, he was preaching on none of us are promised tomorrow. You're not promised, again, next breath. You never know. And so he walked back inside, and he looked at what this couple was passing back and forth, and evidently, the guy had written on this piece of paper that he said, "I'll take my chance. What about you?" So the pastor to the girl, and the girl wrote the same thing. She goes, "I'm with you. I'll take my chance too." That's heartbreaking. They walked out of that church taking a chance on life. And frankly, they never got another chance. And so I just want to urge you guys, don't wait. Someone you dearly love, they may not be a believer, and something can happen to them like that, and they're gone. And I just hate the fact that, you know, people we know and love could end up in a place we never want them to. Quick example is the first day I joined my swim team, I went into the locker room, and I shared the gospel with probably four or five people. And I've done it probably eight or nine more times since then. That's, what, 4 years ago. And from that day on, they gave me the nickname the Locker Room Missionary. And I love it. Locker Room Missionary, Jesus Freak, Super Christian, all these different nicknames, because they know where I stand. They know what I stand for. And they know what I try to preach to them, but they ignore it. And I just won't give up, because I know that they need the gospel and they need Christ, because if they don't have that, then they're on a path to hell. And, you know, we had somebody come into Connections last week and talk to us, and he said that don't wait for somebody else to do it. So I don't want to be the person that says somebody else will get to them, right? Somebody else will share the gospel with them. I don't have time. I'm not good enough. I don't know how to do it. to me, there's no excuse, right? There is nothing. Like, we have to get that word out. We're not called to keep the word to ourselves. I'm not called to keep that to myself. I have to get that word out and share it with others. So, yeah. That's pretty much all I've got. So.
Yeah, thank you, Luke. Luke has been a huge blessing to me as coming in to the student ministry position last year. We once a month would go to Rosegate, a nursing home close by, and we would do a Sunday service for them. And Luke was one of a couple very faithful people that were there every single week. And I loved giving him the opportunity and the platform to speak and to preach, and you've done it faithfully, and I want to encourage you to continue to do that. God has enabled you to do that, and I pray that you do that for many years to come.